Welcome to Mokina's Front Porch, a Mokina history podcast with Matt Galick and me, Israel Smith. This podcast, we're going to talk about one of the oldest buildings in Mokina. It's been around for a long time, many different variations from pizza places to general stores and grocery stores filled this building in the past, and now it's going to be filled again as a restaurant, hopefully by the end of 2024, which is really exciting for Front Street. Bring another restaurant downtown, something to draw people to our downtown, and hopefully encourage more growth going forward. Gino Pacciola, the owner of the property, was kind enough to give Matt and I a tour of the building, and went through. We put a great YouTube video out, shows the full tour, walking through the property. The old beams, you know, the different sections, you see them as they were built on. It's such a neat property. It was neat to see in this stage, and they're going to let us come through and see the different stages as we get closer to completion as well. So that's exciting. So check out that YouTube video. Again, Gino gave us a great tour. We got to meet the owner, Rick Trafton, but it's not in the video. He was working with the architect, so we wanted to save him that time. But we're going to get together with him soon. Great Mokina guy, local guy, and you'll hear more about that. So very cool that there's also a connection for this restaurant and for Mokina. So Matt gives us a cool little history beforehand. You see in the video a lot of what you'll hear more in depth in this episode. So it's a great old building, really cool. Rick was interested in keeping some of the historic stuff, so Matt talked to him about getting him some pictures and things to put up. So that'll be really cool to see as well once that place is done. So I also was speaking, I got a chance to speak to Mayor Frank Fleischer about something else, and I mentioned to him about the restaurant and wanted to get his thoughts. So you hear some of his thoughts on this restaurant, the dock, coming in, as well as, you know, we heap a bunch of praise on Gino Pacciola and all the hard work that he's doing, the things that he's doing to bring our Front Street and make it more fun and more options and make it something that people are drawn to and come down to. So thanks to Gino for doing that. And you'll hear the mayor's appreciative as well. So be sure to check out our website. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel. We're putting more and more stuff. I just loaded a fun video from our Easter egg hunt last year from the Mokina Lions Easter egg hunt. And so I've been, you know, putting those things here and there. So real community stuff. So check out our YouTube channel. Check out our website, which is mokinasfrontporch.com. And make sure to check out our Facebook page as well. We've got some great things coming up for the podcast, great episodes that we're working on that I think are going to be really interesting and great history pieces for our village. This is a great property. It's got a great history. So many people from our village are connected here. So enjoy this episode. I would like to ask you, because the next episode I'm having coming out is about the dock on Front Street, you know, the old historic building. We did a video walkthrough. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. What do you think about that coming to downtown?
Well, the funny thing is since I was a trustee, and we're going back all the way back to 85, I always felt we could have a downtown. We just had to work on it. I always felt that Mokina had, you know, things in place to get a good downtown. And I had to fight people for that. I had to fight elected officials over the years for that. And now you're starting to see that we can have a downtown. You're starting to see restaurants coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Doc's is one of them. That is a well-known restaurant.
Yeah.
We're not just going to get people from Mokina to go there. There's going to be people from outside of Mokina that has known these guys for years. I like the idea that the owners are born and bred in Mokina.
Yeah, that's great.
They've been around for a long time. Their father was active in St. Mary's Church. Can't remember what we were talking about, but we talked years ago about a project or something. And back then he said that he wanted to come to Mokina. They're happy that they're going to be here.
Yeah, yeah. We talk a little bit about Gino Pacciola and his hard work he's done, you know, to keep this building standing and not, you know, like, how I love the fact that we're going to have this old structure that's been around for, you know, some of it early days of our village. And people are still going to get to enjoy that, you know, today. I think that's great.
You need somebody, Israel. You need somebody that wants to develop the downtown like Gino.
Yeah.
He's trying to save the buildings, but even more important than that, he's the one that took the chance.
Absolutely.
Okay, he's the one that put the money on the line, and he has the two. He's going to have the two restaurants going downtown. I have a lot of respect for him. He's a young man, and he took the chance on doing it, and I appreciate it very much.
Yeah,
absolutely. I appreciate what he's told for Mokena very much.
It's a huge positive for our downtown, and you know, we talk about the history of Mokena, and that's what our podcast is. And there's people like Gino through the years of Mokena that have made positive changes and kept our downtown or our village or that moving in a right direction. And I would give him that label for sure of somebody that is making a huge positive impact on our downtown Mokena.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And the thing is, what I tried to get across to the board for years was that until we let people know that we're not going to work and push for downtown, investors are not going to come in and drop money in Mokena. They're just not going to do it. I mean, if the board isn't excited about it, why should they be?
Yeah, that's great. So,
and now things are starting to pop. A couple of weeks, I'm going to a restaurant. I can't mention the name right now, but I'm going to a restaurant. He definitely wants to build a building in the downtown area of Mokena.
Wow, that's so great to hear. Well, I hope once they make the agreement, let them know that Mokena's Front Porch is the place to go for the scoop, because we had so many people excited about the video and getting the tour of that old building.
Oh, I'll do that.
So that would be great.
Because I'll tell you, and there's another restaurant, okay, that wants to leave an area around here that wants to come to Mokena. And I'm in the process of looking for a place for him. But he wants a special place, so I'm trying to find another one so we could have two restaurants.
That would be great.
And one that already has a following in the area.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm getting a kick out of. For years, people told me, Israel, that we're not going to have a downtown, we're not going to have a downtown. Well, they were full of baloney. I did a poll a few years back, 4 years ago, when I ran the last time. And we thought, and one of the questions I asked was about downtown. 72%
wow.
of the residents in Mokena wanted a viable downtown.
Wow. I'm one of those 72 for sure. So put both my hands raised. We live in downtown, and we love having options to be able to walk down and enjoy, and walking downtown and seeing, you know, the beautiful downtown at Christmas. And it's been such an improvement over it just when we've been here. And I think more people want to see more of that. So it's great it's happening.
I agree with you. And some of the younger people I'm talking to, you know, people that want to get involved in politics and people that want to get involved in the Zoning and Planning Commission, what they tell me is they just want to go downtown. They would love to go downtown to a restaurant and meet one of their friends down there and their families.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. That's why it seems like the young people, you know, want a downtown. They want someplace to go. They want someplace to meet friends of theirs.
Yeah.
And hopefully now they're going to get it. And then when Yonker Farm starts moving along, because we got some plans for Yonker's Farm.
Yeah.
You know, people will start going over there. They can come into downtown to get something to eat. I'll tell you, Israel, what drove me nuts over the years. Think about what Mokena has. You've got a downtown, a viable downtown that needs work, right next to Mr. Yonker's Farm, and then south of that is the Forest Preserve.
Yeah.
And years ago, the Forest Preserve wanted to put winter activities in that area, and I'm going to go talk to them and find out if they still have plans to do that.
Such as cross-country and things like that?
Cross-country, tubing hills, and winter activities, things like that.
Oh, Tubing Hill. That's a great idea.
So they wanted to put things in out there. They wanted to work with us. But again, you know, we've got to show them we're willing. And this, like I said, Israel, this is driving me nuts. The potential is there. We could have one of the best. I mean, we could have the best downtown in the area. Because think about it. Nobody has what Mokena has. Nobody in downtown. Nobody has a train station. But nobody has a downtown that I know of connected to their park district. Like that.
Yeah.
Connected to the Forest Preserve.
All right, Matt, this episode we're talking about the building that's at 11116 Front Street.
Yeah.
And you posted this blog post back on Friday, March 5th of 2021.
Oh, wow.
Called Beer Suds to Piping Pizza,
yeah.
A History of 11116 Front Street. So, Matt, how do people know 11116 Front Street today?
Yeah, so this is the building that is immediately west of Curtain Call Theater nowadays. It's empty now. The last business that was in there was Paulie's Restaurant for quite a while back in the about mid-2000s up until I can't even place it when he closed finally. Maybe like 2012 or 13. Some one of our listeners may have a better sense of when he closed his doors, but longtime Mokinians will remember this as the location, former location of A Pizza, one of the great pizza places of Mokena. And also going back even farther than that was Wilbur Teske's grocery store.
And you talk a little bit about it in the story, but you've had a lot of personal connection to this place and spent a lot of time there as a young person.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would love to. A Pizza was a cool place. There was absolutely nothing special or anything remotely fancy about the place. It was just a regular pizza place. But what was cool about it is that the owners, at least as far as I was ever able to tell, never seemed like they had any kind of problem with kids, like high school age kids going and hanging out there, or, maybe little younger, like junior high age kids. As long as you're a customer, you weren't just loitering, but it was a place where my friends and I went quite a lot, just to, get a pizza and kind of, take our time eating it. And, a place where, you never, got looked down at for being an unaccompanied kid, because I won't name any names, but there were businesses in town where they kind of had like an unofficial, unattended teens aren't welcome here kind of stance.
Okay.
And A Pizza was never one of those places. And it was just a good place to go with your friends and kind of be out without your parents.
Any games or anything they have in there?
They had a bunch of classic arcade games in there.
Oh, cool.
The one I remember the clearest was Ms. Pac-Man.
Yes.
Playing that a lot. I remember they had Area 51, that kind of shoot 'em up alien game. Uh-huh. That's the best way I can describe it. They had a few more. They had one of those, I think they had one of those claw machines in there. They had Super Ghouls and Ghosts, I remember, another classic from the 80s and early 90s. Mm-hmm. It was just a cool place.
Yeah.
Something like you'd see on like a TV show or something.
Sure.
And yeah, once again, there was nothing sophisticated about this place at all, I'm not trying to put it down or anything, but it was just a real small town kind of place that I have there's a lot of good memories attached.
And we'll talk about it. This is a very old building in town.
Oh yeah.
And it started as a bar. Was there any of that kind of stuff left over? Any of the interior from earlier days?
Not really, unfortunately. Going back in my memory, and I was already interested in Mokena history when I was going there, so I was kind of looking around. There was nothing I remember seeing back then that struck me as being historic or original or anything, unfortunately. But
yeah,
but the building is still there, so that's
what And we're gonna try to talk to Gino for this as well. But Gino Picciola is the current owner of the property.
Yeah.
And it was just approved for some renovations. And so that's positive, good news. And
yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully we have some life back in that building again soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, all right, Matt. Well, let's hear this great story. Beer Suds to Piping Pizza, a story of 11116 Front Street.
On a walk down Front Street, one is greeted by many familiar sights. Here, the Curtain Call Theater. There, the former Tribes Beer Company, not to mention other local mainstays. As part of our village streetscape, it's easy to become so used to the scene that many of these buildings are easy to take for granted. Notwithstanding, our most historic structures demand our attention and appreciation. And one of those is the old structure at 11116 Front Street, which most recently was known as Paulie's Restaurant. In the last two decades of the 20th century, this place was a pizza, a Front Street fixture. A well-known gathering place for Mokina's youth, this writer whiled away countless hours here with his friends, counting many days of joy and mirth in this spot, which, on more than a few weekends, could become quite crowded. It's easy to find a Mokinian who can remember both of these eateries, but the history of this landmark reaches back well over 150 years and includes more than a few interesting personalities. The heart of this story, like so many in our fair village, lies with a member of the storied Schick family. Georg Heinrich and Juliana Rosina Schick were old natives of Neckarbischofsheim in the German Grand Duchy of Baden. Building their family there, the couple welcomed 11 children to their fold before leaving the old country and emigrating to America in August 1848, arriving on the heels of unrest and revolution in their old homeland. Setting foot in Chicago with 300 five-franc pieces in their name, the Schicks stayed there only a few days before trudging on foot southward, before they came to their new home in what would become Frankfurt Township. Georg Heinrich and Juliana Rosina's middle son, Ferdinand, came into the world on September 12, 1832, and was 16 years old when his family set down their stakes in our midst. He tried his hand at farming, the family profession, and would later even come into his own acreage a little further west from the family homestead down what is today 187th Street, near where Marley now stands. In the spring of 1871, Ferdinand Schick entered the business world of Mokina when he bought a Front Street lot and the two parcels adjoining to the north and northeast from Peter Knepp, valued altogether at $2,500. This is the property that is today known as 11116 Front Street. At the time of Sheik's purchase, a building already stood here. However, it was likely not the structure which currently stands on this spot. Boasting decorative wooden cornices and framed windows, this rambling edifice is a stunning example of the vernacular Italianate architecture that was popular in the American Midwest in the years following the Civil War. This current structure and all of its outward treasures likely date from the time of Ferdinand Schick's acquisition of the property. Interestingly, the building's northern half, tucked behind the main structure like a shy child, is of an even older vintage, displaying attributes of the Greek Revival style, a feature seen in Mokina houses in the 1850s and 1860s, the earliest period of our village's history. This is possibly the first building on the lot, and it's not out of the realm of possibility that it was pushed a few yards to the north to make room for a new structure. Alternately, it may have been moved from elsewhere at a later date and then tacked on to the main structure.
So, a couple of things. For one, I wanted to ask what the connection with Lester Schick, who we've talked about before, is, and this Schick family.
Yeah. So Ferdinand Schick and Lester Schick are related. This is the same family. Let's see. Ferdinand Schick would have been Lester Schick's great granduncle. So Ferdinand Schick was the brother of Lester Sheik's grandfather.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the younger brother of Philip Schick, who was Lester Sheik's grandfather.
Okay.
Yeah. To seg back to the principal section of the building that faces Front Street, Ferdinand Cheek opened a saloon within these walls around 1871, where he was also known to board guests overnight. Along with a host of other Mokena and Frankfurt saloonists, he was indicted by the Will County Grand Jury in early 1879 for selling drink to a habitual drunkard. A trial soon followed in the county seat, which took up 2 days and the testimony of some 50 witnesses. By the time the dust was settled, Sheik and his fellow barkeeps were each fined $20 in costs by the court, along with 20 days in jail, the time in the lockup to let up as soon as the fine was paid. The Joliet media was decidedly aligned against them, the daily news of that place blustering, "That should teach them to look out for these old suckers who should be fined for each offense, just the same as the saloon keeper who sells it to them." Legal trouble notwithstanding, Ferdinand Cheek became very successful in his business, as is evidenced by his Christmastime 1883 purchase of a musical machine, which, in the words of the Will County Advertiser, is a whole brass band within itself. The buy set Cheek back $600, or about $16,000 in today's money. On Christmas, he treated his customers to a concert from the contraption. He appears to have kept up the watering hole and hostelry until the end of 1891, when he and his wife Louisa sold the property to Mokenian Charles Moriety and his younger brothers George and Frank at the end of that year for $2,400, from whence the Sheiks moved to Joliet. His life caught dramatically short. Ferdinand perished there in early 1897 in a ghastly fire. New owner Charles Gilson Moriety was a lifelong native of the Mokena area and a Civil War hero to boot, having volunteered for duty in the 20th Illinois Volunteer Infantry as a 17-year-old in October 1864, having exaggerated his age by a year. He later became an auctioneer, where he was known around town as Colonel. Moriety cried sales all over the region, and was also known for his ability to do them in German, which made him much in demand amongst Mokena's Teutonic population. In the tradition of the building, the colonel and his brothers ran a beer hall here, but they weren't long for this place, as they flipped it in January 1893 to John Wanamaker. The Wanamaker Bunch were another old Mokena family, arriving in our neighborhood as early as 1848 via Erzhausen, a small village near the Hessian town of Langen in south-central Germany, a point of origin for many of our earliest pioneers. As luck would have it, the Wanamakers carved out their home off of today's 187th Street, a stone's throw from the aforementioned Sheiks. John Wanamaker was born March 24th, 1850, and like his neighbor Ferdinand Cheek, was an agriculturist in the earliest years of his life, before opening his own taproom in Cheek's old building on Front Street in 1893, the same year of Chicago's legendary Columbian Exposition. John Wanamaker's saloon became a Front Street mainstay, and could also be quite a lively place, as is shown by the dance he gave on July 4, 1902. Mokena's correspondent to the Lockport Phoenix Advertiser, in referencing the party with a thoroughly salty mien, wrote that there was considerable doin' that day and next down in the West End. In fact, so much some came near forgetting where the beginning was and when the finish should occur. Another newsworthy party appeared here in October 1910, this time not for its raucousness, but for the fact that each of its guests arrived in autos, newfangled machines that were not yet often seen on village streets. One of three saloons in village during its time, Wanamaker's boasted billiard tables, an ornately carved wooden bar, a stack of wooden kegs in one corner, and spittoons on the floor for its guests. Beginning to show its age, John Wanamaker spruced up the place in the summer of 1914, just as World War I was about to kick off in Europe. Aside from being a liquor purveyor, Wanamaker was also a civically minded resident, and served as a village trustee from 1904 to 1906. He sold beer at this location for decades, until the 1920 countrywide prohibition on the sale and manufacture of most kinds of alcohol almost threw him out of business. The federal census that year listed John Wanamaker as the operator of a soft drink parlor. Around this time frame, his son George, who tended the bar and waited tables in the tavern, began to take more of an active role in the affairs of the business. George Wanamaker was a unique personage in Mokena's history, if only for a very serious disability that he had, namely the loss of his left eye. While working on a Minnesota farm as a 21-year-old in the summer of 1907, Wanamaker and some of the other young men he worked with were experimenting with dynamite caps and electric currents. While holding two caps in each hand, an electric battery was switched on and the wire touched his hands, causing an explosion of almost fatal results. The young Wanamaker was sent to a specialist in Chicago for his severely injured eye, whereupon the doctor in charge ultimately removed it. Like his father, George Wanamaker was elected to a spot on the Mokena Village Board and held this office from 1919 to 1925. As the town and nation at large were officially dry for most of this time, the former taverns in the community removed the coverings on their storefront windows in an effort to prove that there was no shady business going on within. Oddly, George Wanamaker's stayed in place, and when the village board asked him what was going on, he became oddly defensive. Rumors swirled around town, which eventually made their way to the county seat, Joliet. So it was that on the evening of January 19th, 1925, Will County Sheriff's deputies raided the property and discovered gambling equipment such as punch boards, as well as illegal moonshine, whiskey, and wine. These items and Wanamaker himself were hauled to Joliet by the authorities. The village trustee made bail, but wound up paying a hefty $700 fine for keeping these materials on his property. After having gotten his dose of legal medicine, a change of business was in order for George Wanamaker. He put saloon keeping, legal or not, behind him and converted his place into a grocery store. Opening his newly branded doors to Mokena on June 24, 1925, after having the building newly remodeled and painted, Wanamaker carried the standard brands of packaged, bottled, and canned goods, as well as fruit and vegetables in season. He was a liberal advertiser in Mokena's village newspaper, the News Bulletin. One ad from July of his opening year reminded customers that a dry goods line had been added to the grocery department and that shoppers would find men's work and dress shirts, overalls, straw hats, sheeting, calicos, ginghams, and notions at the store. Another from a year later boasted 3 pounds of Peaberry coffee for $1.35, 1 quart of Delwood cocoa for 25 cents, and 2 cans of Friesland peas for the same price. Illustrative of the rural environment that was our village at the time, the store was kept open until 9 p.m. during threshing season.
So I just want to go back a little bit to the fact that the village trustee was arrested for selling booze during Prohibition.
Yeah, that he was all right. Absolutely.
Any idea like what the ripples around town were from this? I mean, did it affect his time as trustee?
You know, he did. That was his last year in office. Whether or not, I can't remember offhand without those materials in front of me, whether or not that was just because his term ended then or because maybe he resigned. I'm not sure. I am wanting to say, though, that that was just when his term ended.
Yeah. You just wonder because obviously somebody was selling him out and they were talking to him.
Yeah.
I wondered if that would have kept him from running again.
Yeah, he doesn't appear to have held any public office, as far as I know, after that. But in any case, he still stayed in business at his old location for decades after that, just in a different kind of business.
Yeah.
So he must not have been too disrespected by this. But, I mean, he did get in trouble, and he paid a very hefty fine for it. But, he wasn't the only Front Street business keeper to have been discovered in that era for this kind of stuff. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mokena was good to George Wanamaker and his business, sustaining him throughout the Great Depression and World War II. An accordion studio found a home in the building during the post-war years, and customers to the store could hear musicians practicing. In the prosperity of this era, the store became affiliated with the chain of Midwest stores, and in accordance with its color scheme, the front facade was painted yellow. Wanamaker also began carrying frozen food for the first time and completed an addition to the western side of his building in the spring of 1955. After 39 years in business on Front Street, George Wanamaker retired and sold the concern to his nephew, Wilbur Teske, in 1964. Teske kept up the store in the tradition of his uncle, which was simply known as Wilbur's in the mouths of many locals, and it was known as a place among Mokena youth as a good spot to cash in on empty pop bottles and spend the proceeds on penny candy. After Teske's long tenure here, the old landmark became the home of a ski and sport shop briefly before Bill Frankenberger opened A Pizza here in the 1980s. Feeding countless village folk until well into the early 21st century, this eatery was a home away from home for the youth who came to bask in the glow of the Ms. Pac-Man machine or smile at the motorized pizza chef in the window with his fuzzy mustache and outstretched hand. Around 2004, a new restaurant, Paulie's, set up shop here. And nowadays, the building is owned by Gino Picciola, who is going to carry out some work on the old place and get a new business. Word on the street is he's looking at getting a restaurant in there, and we're hoping that it's just as great of a success as the old businesses that were there in the past, something that will stay for decades and a place where new memories will be made for Mokenians young and old. Renowned American author Robert Heinlein said, "A generation which ignores history has no past and no future."
Well, that's great, Matt. You know, it's a great story to know that property still sits after so long on Front Street.
Yeah.
And especially with, you know, being neglected for so long.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, as we said, Gino Picciola had recently got plans approved. So hopefully in the near future, mm-hmm. we'll see another restaurant in there that the youth can go to and play video games or whatever it is there. So, cool. Well, great. Well, we'll, as always, share the link to the episode in the show notes, and it's on the website. But again, this episode is Beer Suds to Piping Pizza, a history of 11116 Front Street. So thanks again, Matt, for sharing this great story.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And
thanks to Gino for doing the work.
Yeah, absolutely, for keeping a landmark for
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. Matt and I both really hope that you're enjoying the podcast and that you enjoyed this episode. We would really appreciate it if you would share our podcast with your friends or family, as well as leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you hear our podcast. We'd love to hear your show ideas or your questions, so you can send us an email at podcast@mokenasfrontporch.com or on Facebook through Messenger or through our website, which is mokenasfrontporch.com. You can send us a message there. We have a link in the show notes to Matt's blog post that this episode was based on. We have some great things coming up and we're really excited to share with you. So thanks for listening and we'll see you next time on Mokena's Front Porch.